Lord and Savior Christ. Amen. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort to put on a wedding. You aware of this? There's a lot of, Marlis, it's true, wedding coordinator. A lot of logistics involved. You got people to organize and paperwork to acquire and fill out. You've got food and drink to prepare for, decorations, music. Typically, there are hours of effort and work and preparation that go into putting on a wedding. I've done a decent number of them by now. Been doing this for 4.5 years. I've done a decent number of weddings. They have all been different. They've all been unique. They've all been special. I've been in weddings as small as 5 people, which is the smallest number of people you can have legally for a wedding in this state, because you need the officiant, the people getting hitched, and 2 witnesses. Been in weddings with over 300 people, not all in the bridal party, obviously, but people who showed up. Done very formal services in a National Historic Landmark in downtown San Francisco. That one was actually kind of funny, because there was me, the Lutheran pastor, the Methodist bride, the Orthodox groom, and we were in a Presbyterian church. I've done a beach wedding, actually several of those, when I was out in Chinook, out on the coast, including one on the boardwalk in Long Beach, Washington, as people are walking past back and forth. And that was a hippie hillbilly wedding. So everybody came in tie-dye or overalls. It was Long Beach, people. It's its own little place. It was good. It was good. Dealt with late people, dealt with drunken toasts, with rude vendors, with weather problems of all sorts. You know one thing I've never dealt with in a wedding? Never ran out of food. I've never ran out of drink. I shouldn't say I have never, because I've never been responsible for that stuff, but I've never been to a wedding yet where that has occurred, where people have run out of food or drink for the guests. Not one. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." That's really weird. That's odd for any big gathering, if you stop and think about it. It's been almost 2 years since I started here. Can you believe that? Actually, it's been 1 year and 10 months, if we're going to be technical. Let's be technical. It's been 1 year and 10 months. You remember when I started, we had this big chili feed that we did downstairs. Everybody went down afterwards for this chili reception that we did. And I remember there was a lot of worry about whether or not we would have enough food for that. We did. We had leftovers. I remember because I got to eat them for several days afterwards. It's okay. It was good chili. The service we did a couple weeks ago, December 22nd, the evening service with all of these different church groups that came here. You remember? We gathered together with our Ethiopian, Eritrean, Korean, Latino, and other neighborhood folk. This big service together. Afterwards, we had sweets, desserts, coffee. We had enough. I missed most of it because I was talking to people. Shocking, I know. It's hard to imagine that. But I know that we had enough. I know there were leftovers yet again. Every year for Thanksgiving, for Easter, for Christmas, Sarah and I, we get together with our extended family. 30-plus people there for each of those holidays. Not once have we not had enough food or drink. But at this wedding, that's not the case. At this wedding, someone did not plan ahead. And that's odd. You know another little thing about this wedding? It's the only time it gets mentioned. It shows up here at the beginning of John, but we don't hear about it in Matthew. We don't hear about it in Mark. We don't hear about it in Luke. Paul never talks about it in any of the letters. So this wedding shows up once. And it is kind of unsuccessful if it wasn't for Jesus. I wonder why that is. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." It's an honest statement. This is not our problem. He's not being rude. I know it sounds that way in English, because it's not typical that you address someone, "Woman," and you're not being rude. Think of it maybe perhaps as more like, "Madam." Does that sound a little easier on your ear? "Madam, what concern is this to you or to me? This is not our problem." He's not insulting her, he's being honest. "Look, I'm looking ahead already. I'm looking ahead to the cross, I'm looking ahead to the resurrection, looking ahead to new life, to new hope. This is not my hour. This is not my call. This is not what I am here for. This is not my concern." And yet, Mary knows better. What does Mary say, even though he protests and says he won't do anything? "Do whatever he tells you to do." He says, "Not my problem." And she says, "Okay, when my son tells you to do something." Just like a mother, right? She knows her child. Just like any parent knows her child. He's not going to leave them out hanging like that. And of course he does. He does this water into wine. And as miracles go, this one is actually pretty understated. If we're honest about it, it's pretty understated. You know, not many people notice it. We're told the servants notice. Presumably the disciples notice, because we're told they believe afterwards. They see this and believe. But the guests, they're clueless. The steward is completely clueless. The groom, he has no idea. That's okay. That seems like a waste, though, doesn't it? Kind of a wasted miracle, so to speak. All that effort, just a couple of people get to see it. I mean, compare that to the feeding of the 5,000. Now, there's a miracle. 5,000 people, a couple fish, some loaves of bread. I mean, that's a big miracle. That's 5,000 people who witnessed this thing happen. This is just a couple of folks at a wedding. And that feeding of the 5,000, you know how I just told you that this wedding only shows up here in John? Well, the feeding of the 5,000, that shows up in all four Gospels. It's actually the only one that does. It shows up in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in John. You will not find another miracle-type story like that that shows up in all four. The feeding of the 5,000 does. That one does. But this water into wine, that's like a party trick by comparison. It's so small, so innocuous, so subtle, really. There's no big shock of light or sound or something. The steward or just dips his ladle in and goes, tastes good. But what if I were to tell you, and hear me out before you get offended when I say this, what if I were to tell you that neither of these are miracles? Not the feeding of the 5,000, not the water into wine. Like I say, hear me out before you get offended. In Greek, these are not described as miracles. These are described as signs. Semion. Mark or sign. That's what that word translates into. Today we heard it described as sign. Verse 11. Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. What is a sign? A sign is not important by itself. It tells you about something else. It tells you about something important. It points you towards the thing that actually matters. The sign itself is just that, a sign, a marking. an indicator. You're driving down I-5. You're hungry. Maybe you're low on gas. You see those blue signs on the side of the highway, which, seriously, that was a great idea, whoever came up with that. You're driving down the freeway. You see the little blue sign telling you that there's food and gas ahead. You don't, at that point, pull over next to the blue sign and say, "Thank you, Lord, I have found a sign. My problems are over." Right? You go to the next exit. You actually go to the place that has the food or the fuel or whatever it is you need. You don't stop at the sign. The sign just points you towards the thing that matters. You're hurt. You go to the hospital. You go to the emergency room. You see the big red and white ER sign. You don't pull into the parking lot and say, "Ah, I'm healed. I'm going to go sit next to the sign for a while." I assure you, that won't help. You go in. You actually talk to a medical professional because the sign is just a sign. It might be a pretty sign. It might be a good sign. It might be an impressive sign. But it's just a sign. The purpose of a sign is not the sign itself. It is whatever it points to. So what is this sign? What does the water into wine point to? It reveals the abundance to be found in God. In a world that consistently tells us, take care of yourself. Make sure you get your share. There is not enough to go around. Things are scarce. Be afraid. Put yourself first. Make sure that you and your family are taken care of. God says no. That's a load of bunk. No. God says, "Have you seen what I have provided in this world?" I mean, seriously? Look around. People, there is more than enough for everyone. God is a God of abundance, first and foremost. Not a God of scarcity. People don't find themselves on streets or in shelters, needing food or financial assistance because there's not enough in this world. They find themselves there because human beings have set up rules and procedures that reward greed, that reward inhumanity, that reward selfish and ungodly behavior. Think of Wall Street manipulations. I'm sure you've read about them at some point. Think about corporate tax breaks. Think about dishonorable business practices and political bribery. You know why that water into wine tastes so good? It's actually a very funny little bit there. I heard Rance laugh. I'm glad somebody caught the joke there. And they said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." And so they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk." That's funny, people. When you read that line, you can laugh. It's okay. That is funny, because it's true. "But you have kept the good wine until now." What made that wine so great? Why did it taste so good? It's not because this is holy Jesus water wine. That's not what made it so good. It's because it was made out of abundance. It's because it was made with goodness in mind. It was made with love for the other in mind. That's what made it taste so good. It was actually of God as opposed to what we often substitute. There's a time in worship where we talk a lot about signs, where we oftentimes use the word sign. It's during the offering. We're not using these exact words today, but a common one we use is, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Signs. Signs of your gracious love. That's what stewardship is. Recognizing our gifts from God. Big ones, small ones, many of them, a few of them. And looking to use them together for a greater purpose. Looking to use any and all of them, using gifts and talents, possessions, time, any of them, because they're all valuable. But they're all signs of God's love. Tavin asks me a lot, well, not a lot, but he has mentioned in the past about how he wishes that he could hear God's voice. He wishes that, you know, Daddy, I never heard God just speak to me before. That's okay, Tavin, I haven't either. Full confession, I have not. I've never had that voice from heaven moment. But I have seen signs of God's abundance. And I've seen signs of new life and new hope and new love in God. And in particular, in people's faithful response to God's love. See it in the food room. See it when we do the Christmas baskets and things like that. I see it in the gifts that have been given to help with capital projects and needs around here. I see it when people volunteer to decorate, clean things up. I see it in the breakfast downstairs. I see it in the altar guild. I see it in Marla's running the sound system. I see it in the faithful response of the people in this room. Gather together to use those gifts for a greater glory. I see signs of God's love and God's abundance every time that we reject the way of the world that tells us to put ourselves first. And we embrace the way of the Word that tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Because that's what being a Christian is all about. You've heard me say this before. Love, love, love. That's what it's all about. Maybe someday I will wake up and I will have that voice from heaven moment. And it'll be great. And God will tell me exactly what's going to happen and how it all works and the plan, if you want to use that language, and whatever else. This fantastic voice from heaven burning bush moment. But until that time, I will be quite content to just be aware of all the signs of God's love that are out there. And all the ways that we are being pointed in the right direction. Amen.